Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. I'm Dave Bryan, of course, from SteelersDepot.com. It is August the 16th. It is Wednesday, and back from sunny Latrobe is Alex Cazorra. Alex, only a few more of these special edition podcasts left to do here with a few more training camp practices remaining. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, Dave. I am good. Yeah, we have Thursday, Friday, and then camp break. So, you know, it's run by pretty quick today. Really hot day. The pads were on, live session tackling. So I'm sure some of these players can't wait to get out of the bright lights of Latrobe, too.
It looked like Ed Bouchette posted a picture of them tearing down the weight room and all like that. So you can probably definitely tell it's the end is near when it comes to 2017 training camp. The Steelers did get several guys at least back in pads today. Landry Jones, I think, was one of them. Marquise Pouncey. Jones obviously been dealing with an abdominal strain, I think. Pouncey, you know, to hear people talk, he had a nasty, cut on his shin or leg, and one would think that would have healed by now, but evidently not. Even though those two were in pads today, it doesn't sound like they were full participants, if you will.
They were not. I would classify them as partial. Jones got more work than Pouncey. Jones threw an individual work, and then he took snaps under center just in the run session, the second run session, any pass situations. Dobbs came in as the number two. Pouncey went through individual, but nothing at all in team. So he was partial. Cam Sutton, still a partial guy. Do you want to run through the rest of the list, or where do you want to go?
Yeah. Go ahead and finish them out along with the guys that didn't work.
Okay. Returning full today, Steven Johnson, Bud Dupree. He's been on again, off again. Good to get Dupree back. Watt was back after getting rest most of Monday. Saw Trey Williams back in team drills. He's been on in dressed every day, but he hasn't been in team in a little bit, so that was good for him. James Conner was 100% go today, in contact, you know, live tackling sessions. That was awesome. Of course, Sammy Coates coming off PUP. He was thrown into team right away today, so there's no hesitation, no waiting for him. He needs the reps. Not practicing at all today. Shorter list, so that's good news. Mike Mitchell, DeMarcus Ayers, Keon Adams, Senquez Golson. Foster got the day off for rest, and Ryan Shazier. So getting a little closer to full health, Dave.
Yeah, and as you reported throughout the day on Twitter there, about sounded like about halfway through practice during an 11-on-11 drill, a run play, specifically Juju Smith-Schuster appeared to maybe get rolled up from behind and was down for several minutes. At least he did not need to be carted off with what looks like some sort of a left leg injury. And it was, you know, eventually after he went to the sideline and examined, he walked up the hill, if you will. And that in itself is probably a good sign. Mike Tomlin said after practice, you got to love Mike Tomlin and the use of and how he uses words. He says it doesn't appear to be as serious as it appeared to be. So he wouldn't get into specifics. He was asked whether or not it was a knee injury. He refused to speculate. But on the surface, it sounds like Juju dodged a bullet there. On his Snapchat after practice, he was headed off somewhere. One person speculated it was to get an MRI, but it looks like he went to what's the name of that place? Chipotle. Okay. And unless they have an MRI machine in there, or unless he went to medical center after that, probably dodged a bullet there. So good news there, most definitely, we think. And as far as Landry Jones goes, you know, as soon as you said he was back in pads, I started thinking, man, is there a chance this cat plays Sunday night against the Falcons? But, you know, after you reported that he was really partial, and then after practice, Mike Tomlin said he's got a couple of hurdles to clear still. He's got to get a clean bill of health from the doctors, and he's got to He's got to prove that he's functional in terms of being able to make all the throws. Well, some might say, when has he ever done that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That's done. No, I kid. When he sees those things happen, he'll be participating, whether that's this week or next. That remains to be seen. I would be absolutely shocked if Landry Jones plays Friday night. I would be shocked if Pouncey plays in that game as well. The guys that are still continuing to miss practice that you just rattled off, Mike Mitchell, Ryan Shazier, a few of the others, Keon Adams, I'll be shocked if those guys play. It sounds like Ben Roethlisberger is expecting to sit it out, so I think we're going to see a lot of Joshua Dobbs and a little Bart Houston, just as we did in that game against the Giants. Moving forward, Sammy Coates back on the field. Boy, you know, if you would have drawn this thing out for Sammy Coates right now, as far as what's happened so far, he probably has to be happy because, you know, let's face it, Justin Hunter, who had a good start of camp, missed the preseason opener, and so did Sammy Coates. So now Sammy Coates is getting back in time, which we assume he'll play Friday night, and we assume Justin Hunter will as well, too. During practice today, I'll have you tell me what those two guys did, but before I do so, Mike Prisuta wrote up on the Steelers website that Mike Tomlin broke out the old two dogs, one bone phrase today, going back and forth with Justin Hunter and Sammy Coates. So with that said, why don't you start off with telling us how those two wide receivers did today.
Well, Hunter had a couple nice catches. You know, he's got that big catch radius and can haul in some passes that get thrown outside the frame. Other guys can't. He did, I think, a good job in some of the hurry-up situations there running later in practice. I don't have a whole lot on Coates. He did a couple nice things in one-on-one. I don't know if he might have seen a target or two. I forget, in team sessions. It's just good for him to get out there, start shaking off some of that rust, getting back to football shape, and, kind of like the way Martavis was the other day. Tomlin said that? I haven't read the Prisuta report. What's going on there?
Yeah, and he was just really getting after, I guess, Sammy more than Hunter, according to what Prisuta wrote. And I'll pull this up for you and read it to you.
Yeah. So during practice, Tomlin said this.
Right. He said, you got to grab that 1-4 Tomlin emphasized after Coates made contact with a pass from quarterback Joshua Dobbs, but failed to finish the combative catch while working against cornerback Greg Ducre in a wide receiver defensive backs one-on-one drill. The play was similar to one Coates hadn't made while working against Ducre in 7 shots. Went on to say that after wide receiver Justin Hunter went up for a ball and came down with a toe tap touchdown along the sideline in the end zone. And in one-on-one work, Tomlin said, Sammy, he's grabbing that. You got to start grabbing that. Two dogs, one bone. I'm going to start applying pressure.
Nice. I you love the competition. And that's what's so good about this receiver room is while, yes, there is going to ultimately be some tough cuts to be made, the cream's going to rise to the top. And so you love that environment. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's Tomlin was watching this group intently, the receiver DBs one-on-one, just talking to all those guys, whether it was Brian Allen, Artie Burns, obviously Coates and Justin Hunter. So I love it. I love that environment, that intensity. And, we'll see how Coates does, from this point forward.
Do you think this is a Sammy Coates versus Justin Hunter, or do you think this is a DHB involved in there?
They're all involved in there. I know you and David had a pretty good conversation about it today on the main Terrible Podcast. You know, you have four guys that are locked up, and then, I disagree with David. I think that they're going to keep at least 6, and I still don't rule out 7. You can go through the, different combinations of how to keep these guys. I want Hunter to make some plays in the preseason. No, this is a guy that of course looks good in practice and he'll have his moments, but he's supposed to, and he's been quiet at times as well. So while, I think Ben likes him and there's certainly a lot of things to be excited about with Justin Hunter, I think it's going to come down to who makes plays in stadiums. That's going to be the big key for Justin Hunter.
And I've talked and written all offseason, I think they're keeping 6. You know, I know you've written and made some good arguments for them keeping seven, and you know, we'll see. I don't think going back looking at some initial week one rosters, I don't think I can find a time that Tomlin kept seven. At least not recently. I don't think last 4 or 5 years. In fact, let's see here.
I'm sure he didn't. It's super rare across the league for anyone to do it.
Five last year, initial 53, five the year before that, one, two, three, four, five, six the year before. That was the year that Justin Brown made it along with Lance Moore. Five before that, and then four, 1 year, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, I think, they opened the season with Brown, Cotchery, Emmanuel Sanders, and Mike Wallace. I forget what had transpired there, that maybe was Hines Award still in town there, but regardless, I mean, it would be a shock that if seven were kept. So I think six the number for sure. And yo, say what you will about DHB, and we talked about it this morning. The guy is a great special teams player, and Justin Hunter's not, and Sammy Coates is okay. So you're right. It's going to be fun watching Hunter and Coates play. We hope both play against the Falcons.
I was just going to say real quick, DHB. You know, if he makes his team, which I still think he will. Maybe I'm a little less confident than where we were before camp, but he's going to be that Arnez battle, pure special team kind of role at least to start. And there's the confidence and comfort, you know, as him as a backup wherever you need him to. It's, you know, I know he's working with the backups. You know, he's not really running first team at all. So he catches from Dobbs and Bart Houston, but man, his catch percentage is the lowest we've ever tracked, I think, in the 4 years we're doing this. He was at 33% before today. There were a couple more incompletions today. He might be closer to the 20s, which is just, it's unheard of.
Who's that, DHB?
Yeah, DHB's catch percentage is probably around 29% right now.
You're definitely not keeping him thinking he's going to help you on offense.
Right, but that's okay because you have more than enough talent elsewhere that can suffice.
Right, then it comes down to how hard is Danny Smith pounding the table for him.
Yeah, and Tomlin, too, because you know Tomlin still loves Darius Heyward Bey.
Right. Okay, some other cat out there looks to be in football shape and touchdown shape.
Martavis Bryant, is that who we're referring to?
According to your tweets, it is.
Well, then, yes, that is who we're referring to. Yeah, he absolutely owned Ross Cockrell today. I thought today was clearly Bryant's best day, which you would expect. The more reps he gets, you know, the more rust he shakes off and the extra little football shape he gets in. He had forget at least one touchdown today, maybe I'm forgetting another one, but beat him up pretty good in one-on-ones as well. So Martavis, I would call it officially back, and had a really good day.
Eli Rogers, is he having a okay camp, a solid camp? How's he doing?
I think it's trending upward, to kind of steal a Tomlin phrase. I actually have him written down that I thought today was one of his better days. Had a really nice slot fade catch over William Gay to end the two-minute drill for the second-team offense. So that was nice to see. I think him and Ben are starting to better get on the same page. You know, they were doing some on-air stuff today, and after, you know, Rogers made the catch after the rep, Ben called out, you know, nice, very good, very good. So, you know, the slot's such a tough position because the chemistry's got to be perfect. You get correct depth and know when to settle and when to run away. And there's just so much that has to go on where your receiver and quarterback has to be on the same page with. And, you know, Rodgers is still generally a young guy. And so I think that's improving there. So it's been inconsistent at times, but I think it's getting better as of late.
James Conner finally bounced around a little bit.
Yeah, that was really nice to see. They gave him a lot of carries today, you know, and Monday's practice was out pads. He touched the ball 13 times, had 8 carries, so you're just trying to get him all the reps you can. Not a lot of work for Nile Davis today, a little bit for Toussaint. You're just trying to get Connor those reps. He had the run of the day, though, in team session. You know, it was going up the gut. There was a hole to the right. He jump cut to his right and went down the right sideline. Stiff on Brandon Dixon. Dangerfield had to barely hang on to take him down for probably a 15 or 20-yard gain. So, you know, Connor will get square in pass pro. His recognition against some of the fire zones and other sessions look good. Still some work to be done in pass pro, though. Medikevich beat him pretty good with a swim move one time that forced Dobbs out of the pocket. But, you know, I think that Connor's, you know, getting back on the moving train and off to a good start.
You think we'll see him in the first half? You know, really, I mean, look, we know who Toussaint and Davis's are at this point. I think Tomlin does as well. Probably give each of those guys a couple carries and get them out of the game, let them do special teams work from there on out, and then get Connor and Watson. Is this the week that you try to take a good look at Connor and Watson?
I think you maybe choose one of those guys because you still want to get Toussaint Davis a little bit of work early, because that they are going to, Davis might have a chance to play. I don't know how the depth chart's really shaking out just yet. Connor still has to earn it. That's usually how it goes for rookies. So I think it's hard to get both Connor and Watson a lot of work in the first half. But I would like to see Connor get at least a couple carries behind the first team line or whoever plays of that. I'm sure Pouncey isn't, just to see what he can do and get a better baseline for where he's at.
Boy, time's ticking for Brandon Brown, Dukes, and Trey Williams. Those poor kids, probably not even going to sniff a carry at this rate with all these running backs now. And boy, if Le'Veon Bell makes it back, we'll hold our breath still before the preseason. You're going to have to get him a carry or two at some point, one would think, but not guaranteed. But those you want to talk about camp bodies right now. Trey Williams and Brandon Brown Dukes are certainly that. Old buddy Matt Spaeth was at training camp today. Was he teaching those younger tight ends how to handle that sled?
Maybe he was. The guys are getting better on that. Odom's still not great. He's still got to drive through with his lower half, and he can pop up too high. I thought his blocking against the Giants was pretty poor, but again, that's nothing new on that front. Jake McGee continues to do well. I've seen him make some combative catches. I don't have a whole lot with the tight ends today. Jesse James made a couple of nice grabs. Matakevich tipped one up in the air, and James ended up catching it on the way back down. I'm trying to think about who impressed today. Still want to look for some big splash plays from Grimble downfield. I can't even think if there's been one downfield grab by Grimble this whole camp. Maybe there's one, but it's been far and few between.
Boy, Matt Spaeth, the fans gave him crap, and I understand why, because he certainly wasn't a pass catcher during his time in Pittsburgh. But, man, his blocking, I think, was underrated. Even in his second trip back to Pittsburgh a couple of years there, just tremendous work. And, boy, if he can teach some of those guys a thing or two, however long he's there, good on him. Offensive line, with Ramon Foster out, they open up, I guess, with some walkthroughs with Pouncey at center, but they let Chris Hubbard get some reps at left guard, I take it.
Yeah, and in hindsight, that made sense for Hubbard to get those walkthroughs, those reps, because Finney was going to be the first team center in teams. That's where Hubbard was going to play. I don't have a whole lot on the line today. They do a lot. Now you're kind of in a lot of situational and kind of putting guys together, so it's a lot of stunt work. So there are less one-on-ones today or over the last couple of days than there were to start camp. Same with, linebackers, DBs, or linebackers, running backs. You're putting two and three, groups together and getting guys more work at once to put the coverages together. So I don't have a whole lot with that group today, but it's a really strong group. This offensive line is really good. I'm still bummed about Matt Filer. I keep thinking about my 53-man roster, which I think I'm going to come out with either tomorrow or the next day, and I'm thinking, what do I do with Matt Filer? Should I put him on the 53 and earn the scorn of Steelers Nation or kick him off the island altogether? I haven't decided just yet.
Boy, it would be strange if they kept 9. I mean, it's not unthinkable. I think they've done it before. How would you work him in? I mean, you'd have to cut Hawkins probably.
If you keep 9, you're not cutting anyone.
No, I'm saying if you only made it 8.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, in other words, you're toying with the idea of keeping 9 there. Look, I wouldn't hate you for it, but, I mean, obviously, you're only going to dress probably 7 on game days, and if you have 9, that means means Hawkins and probably Filer both don't get helmets. I mean, we've seen we've seen the Steelers do that before, keep 9 and only dress 7. But where would you cut elsewhere? You'd have to either keep probably one less linebacker or
I'm thinking wide receiver. I'm thinking I go 6 receivers and 9 linemen.
Oh, that's where you find your hole there then. Okay.
Because I'm heavy receiver with 7.
And you also have only been keeping nine linebackers on top of it. Well, I mean, you could definitely make the numbers work there for sure. Yeah, that's, you know, here we are talking about Matt Filer all along here, and I totally forgot it was 2014 when he entered the league there, and thus I double checked the rules this afternoon. He indeed is not. Should not be eligible for the practice squad. So it's sink or swim for him league-wide there, and maybe if he can put enough on tape, I don't know. Maybe he can catch on with another team as lineman number eight, if you will. So definitely still going to be an important preseason for him the rest of the way, regardless here. We haven't seen much of Cooper to this point. You know, we know we're getting a better idea who Brian Mihalik is and all. Kevon Milton is this guy an option maybe for the practice squad again?
I would say no, honestly, Dave. I don't mean to sound too harsh to Kevon Milton and the Milton family. I think he's the worst offensive lineman in camp for the Steelers right now. I take Jake Rogers. I take Cooper. Maybe, I don't know, Crowley. I've barely seen Crowley. But Milton looked terrible against the Giants, and he doesn't look a whole lot better in practice. So I would not keep Kevon Milton.
All right, fair enough then. So who's your two practice squad linemen right now? It'd have to be if you're keeping
Mihalik, Cooper, maybe.
Yeah, Mihalik and Cooper, I'm probably thinking now. Okay, let's see. Quarterbacks, how did Dobbs in Houston look today?
What I really liked about Josh Dobbs was how he led the second team offense in the two-minute drill, let him down for a score, and it was a long drive, too. I forget the number of plays. It was like 12 or 13 play drive, a couple of spikes thrown in there, and he finished it with a pretty touchdown to Eli Rogers. And that was second team O against first team defense. He stepped that level of competition up a notch as well, and I thought he handled himself well with good decisions and getting the ball down the field. He had a bad pick today, play action, pass down the seam of the tight end, a very staple part of the offense, and he just airmailed over Faison Odom, and Hagan picked it off. But I like what he did in 2 minutes. You know, the situational football. I think you were talking with David Todd today earlier about what has changed, you know, in camp from I started going to now. And maybe I'm wrong on this. It'd be fun to go back, look through all my notes. But I feel like there's been an even heavier increase on situational football. You've seen it a lot over the last three or four practices, whether that's goal line, working out of your own end zone, obviously seven shots, red zone, two-minute drill. Even in 7-on-7 today, Dave, they were doing a, quote-unquote, no-huddle, up-tempo 7-on-7 drill. So I think you just constantly emphasize and rep situational football and playing with intensity, playing with tempo in a different situations as much as you can during practice, and a team's going to be better off for it when it times to go into a stadium.
All right, defensive line, probably nothing really new to report there. I mean, is my boy Hooks making any noise?
He's your boy? I didn't know that.
I'm just saying a guy that I think could potentially practice squad, you know, developmental guy.
Yeah, I mean, Hooks is versatile. He's got some decent power. I think he wears down a little too easily, and I want to see him be a more consistent guy where you'll see a couple good reps. You'll see some reps where he just looks gassed or just his punch is really bad. I would still keep Francis Callen on the practice squad, even recognizing that Callen's not, as of right now, better than Hooks or even Ry Filon. I think Filon's shown up at times in camp, but just for the upside and potential and what the practice squad is partially for, to build some of these guys up and get them in a NFL system for a year and figure out what you have next year. So I still lean towards Callen as the guy that I would keep.
And McCullough's still doing nothing but third team.
Third team nose tackle. Well, yeah, you got Hooks on the left, Filon on the right.
So, I mean, he's not getting any kind of sub-package snaps or any, I mean, it's just nose tackle or bust right now for him, right?
He's gotten some nickel stuff, like 13 nickel, where he's, like, opposite Hooks or Filon. I forget who he's with, but, it's just not going to happen.
Time is ticking.
Yep.
Inside linebacker, of course, Vince Williams and Matt Akavin still running first team there. Good to see Steven Johnson back working, I guess, with Fort. At this point, it's either five or four, right? I mean, and that's the way it's been for a while. It's just, Kelsey might be worth keeping. Galambos might be worth keeping on the practice squad, but it's not going to be both of those guys.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, Medakevich had a really nice practice today. He just literally planted Nile Davis on his back on a draw up the middle, and I don't even know how he did it, but Medakevich flew in and knocked him down, and defense went crazy about that. Had another partial breakup in team session, but James ended up catching it on the bounce. So Medakevich continues his strong camp. Yeah, that's probably the bulk of it. Steven Johnson again in full, which is good for him. Ford continues to be steady, a good athlete. Nothing new to really report there.
All right, Chickalo and Dupree look like they're going to play now Sunday night.
Yeah, Chickalo for sure. Dupree's been so flighty on again, off again, but he was out there today, and if he can get through the next 2 days unscathed, then yes, he will play against the Atlanta Falcons.
And Farrington back practicing?
I'm trying to think if I saw him today. I believe so. I'm going to have to look again tomorrow because I can't. He doesn't immediately come to mind, but I didn't see a guy that looked like him with the injured players. So he should be out there, third team opposite Austin Gearing.
All right, and Austin Gearing getting a few snaps already. We'll probably see him late in that game against the Falcons as well there too. Boy, Keon Adams, it's just it's not going to happen for him, is it?
I wonder if he ends up going to IR or something. Just I don't know how bad that shoulder is, but it could be one of those things. Like, didn't they do that with Golson, his first injury? We're going through Golson's injury history, but they kept him around in camp because they wanted him to go through camp experience before they put him on IR with that shoulder injury.
Well, the thing is, too, you can't, if you want to try to get in a guy to IR right now, they have to clear waivers. Right. Whereas yeah. After the third preseason game, I think that's when you can. Now I don't know how that's changed with this cut down rule. Whether or not teams are still allowed to take these younger players and put them directly on IR. So I don't know the answer to that, but I know that was the case with Cinquez. That first year with his shoulder there. So that very well could be the case with Keon Adams. And we'll see. Now, obviously, people say, oh, well, you just stash him there anyway. Look, agents will go. Next time I get Joel Corey on, I'm going to get him to answer this for people so they'll know. Agents will go absolutely ballistic if you just IR a young player just to quote-unquote, hide him, if you will, because these end of the roster players, they have split salaries, on top of it and all. So, you're just not. It's just not going to do that. Merely IR a player just to hide him. He better have an injury of some sort that's going to keep him sidelined for some time. So sure. Definitely that could be a case with Keon Adams. And if it is, you're going to need a practice squad outside linebacker.
You will. I think Huguenin would fit in well. I think he's got the athletic tools that are interesting. Adams, I'm just speculating, of course, but he's missed so much time. And Dave, real quick, explain split salaries to people. I know what it is, but I know a lot of the listeners don't.
Yeah, split salary, most of these bottom, a lot of rookies have them written into their contract, especially if they're, I think, fourth round or later guys, that if they get injured and if they have to go on IR, they take a split salary. They don't get the full base amount. In other words, their full base amount is dependent on them making making the 53-man roster. So I'll have Joel Corey go into that in more depth. But it's not uncommon at all for young players across the league to have what's called split salaries.
Yep, very good point to make. Yeah, we'll see what happens with Keon.
Okay, Mike Hilton. You ready to lock him in yet?
I know you ask me this all the time, and I love Mike Hilton. I've been talking about Mike Hilton.
I'm going to ask you every podcast from now on.
But I still, don't count out Brian Allen for what he's done, the progression that he's shown. He looked good against the Giants, for what he can offer on special teams. Again, I think those are guys that are fighting for a special teams, role potentially if they're even active on game day. And as I've said time and time again, Dave, a lot of those things don't get decided until you're in stadiums when it comes to special teams. So Hilton continues to make plays. I'm not sure if he's had a bad practice yet. And he finished the day with two breakups on Darius Hayward Bay. He's done all that you can, but I'm not ready to call it just yet. Maybe after the Falcons game.
Well, we know Golson's going to miss a second preseason game.
What are the odds Golson makes the 53? Put a percent on it.
0.00000.
So you're telling me there's a chance. No, I agree, Dave.
Yeah. man, I just hate it for the kid, you know. But mm-hmm. I don't see how you can. I mean, even if he got back for the last two preseason games, how much is he going to put on tape at that point for you,
right.
you know?
And he's still got to play well. We haven't even assumed that he's playing well. He's just playing.
Right. So, I just can't see that happening. Then it becomes, Cameron Sutton, I mean, he's yet to play, and we'll have to see if he plays against the Falcons. But I mean, obviously, if he's healthy enough to make the roster, he's going to be on the 53 this year. So as we've said for some time now, if you're keeping six, you only got one spot left, and that's either going to go probably to, you know, unless you keep seven, which I guess you could carve out a way for that to happen as well, too. You know, keep one less inside linebacker or something along those lines. It's Hilton or Allen or both at this point.
Agreed.
Safeties. Boy, Jacob Hagan, he's going to be a nice problem to have on the practice squad potentially. Is there any chance whatsoever that he gets one of these four safety spots?
I don't think he's going to get one of the top four. I guess what you could throw out there is, do they keep five safeties? And if they go six corners and five safeties, could Hagan be the fifth? I find that, and I'm sure you agree, pretty unlikely. I think he'll act as kind of that floating fifth safety on the practice squad, that all it takes is one injury for him to get up and probably get a helmet as well, almost certainly get a helmet. So, you know, there's a very good chance you'll see Jacob Hagan on the 53 and wearing a helmet this year. Just a question of when. But he had another really good practice today, had a pick, had a breakup in seven shots, two breakups yesterday. Sean Davis making some plays too, which really has me excited. Definitely one breakup. I'm pretty sure he had a second. It might have been Golden, but I'm almost positive that it was Sean Davis. So I'm liking these safeties, making some plays. They're usually quiet in camp, not making a lot of splash, not picking off a lot of passes. But Hagan took advantage of that Dobbs sale that I said earlier to Odom. That was Hagan picking it off. Davis making some plays. So, the group's coming together.
All right. Big plays today.
Connor's run was really nice. As I mentioned earlier, again, the Hagan interception, Eli Rogers catch over William Gay in the slot was another nice notable one. A couple of relatively nice snags Justin Hunter had. I think that's the bulk of it. Anthony Chicolo, really good one-on-one rep over Marcus Gilbert. Gave him a little, inside move to begin with and swam over him to the outside, dropped Gilbert to a knee, and Chicolo was able to get past. So Chicolo, very creative and very pass rusher, which has kind of been his calling card.
Is that guy top five guys you're looking forward to seeing the most this weekend against Atlanta?
See, you and I differ on Chick a little bit. I already know. I feel like I know who Anthony Chickalo is. Like, I'm not super interested in watching his play because I kind of have an idea of who this guy is. I don't feel like there's a whole lot left to explore against some backups for him. So, I mean, he wouldn't be in my top five.
All right. Name me a couple who would be in your top five.
Who would be? I want to see Gerald Hawkins bounce back. So I think that would be nice to see. Of course, James Conner. You want to see him in pads for the first time. Who else would I want to see? Sammy Coates, of course, just to get, see where he's at again, if he can make some plays and how interesting this battle gets between Hunter and Coates. I don't know. I could come up with a list, but that's a good start.
DeMarcus Ayers, I mean, no chance, right?
I don't want to say no chance. I think you and David also talked about that today because, again, it's all about special teams and if he could be really impressive late. But I feel like I don't know why he's not practicing. Every day he comes down, he looks like he's ready. He goes through the stretch line with the team. I reported today or tweeted it out, he came down holding his helmet and shoulder pads. I'm like, good, this dude's playing. Nope. So I don't know what the very minor issue now is that's holding him up.
Roosevelt Knicks look healthy.
He looks good. Rosie, cracking skulls. Good lead block on Vince Williams today. You have to love Roosevelt Nix.
I'd put that guy in the bubble wrap right now. You wouldn't see him for the rest of the preseason.
How much did he play against the Giants? I don't think he played that much.
Not many snaps at all. What, four or five? Yeah. Or
is that it? Because David Johnson got the bulk at fullback.
Right. I think most of Nix was special teams, right? Hold on just a minute. I'll let you know here.
But, yeah, which is good. I mean, you're right. I agree. Put Rosie in a bubble wrap. Don't need to lose him.
Why don't you start thanking our sponsors here?
Yes, thank you, Touring Plans. If you're planning a Disney trip, please hit them up, touringplans.com or Twitter at Touring Plans. You can find them on there. Big help. Thanks them so much. Thank you to the fans that have reached out, donated. Super appreciate it. You guys are just awesome. I cannot thank you enough. We'll go through that, through our last kind of camp podcast in a couple of days. I know you're going to ask me, so I'll just answer it now. The L of the day. Well, I think, again, he's better than people say, and he gets a bit of a bad rap. Ross Garkle had a no good, very bad day. He'll be dreaming or maybe having nightmares of Martavis Bryant toasting him.
So it's Ross Cockrat L today, right?
Okay, that's a stretch, but I'll accept it.
All right, Roosevelt Knicks had 2 offensive snaps, 4 special team snaps against the Giants. I could care less if I see him the rest of the preseason right now.
Amen.
All right, folks, Alex, great job as usual. Two more days left on this. Hold on, buddy, fight through it. All right, drink your Gatorade and all, and get those electrolytes and all. Okay, because it's what plants need.
Oh. Idiocracy reference. That's a good movie. I like it. I like it. You say you don't watch movies and TV, but here you are quoting this stuff.
I watch highlights. All right.
Well, you saw Idiocracy. What is that, a highlight of you've never seen Idiocracy?
I have not seen the full movie. No, I have not seen the full
movie.
See it.
It's good. Watch it.
All right, Alex, good job as always. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex Kozora at Alex underscore Kozora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Alex and I will be back in about 24 hours from now recapping Thursday's practice for you. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.